the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
Quarterback, Oklahoma.
It is Baker Mayfield.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
1 year ago, Baker Mayfield, the first overall. A little bit of a stunner, as a matter of fact, because running up to the draft, it sounded like most every draft expert said Sam Darnold was the guy you wanted to draft if you needed a quarterback. We'll figure that out and look ahead to the 2019 draft. We will be in Nashville, Tennessee all next week. And in the meantime, welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program presented by Zaxby's Famous Fingers, Wings, and Salads. And speaking of Zaxby's and our trip to Nashville, those two things happen to line up neatly here. Next Tuesday, roughly 2 p.m., we will be at Zaxby's at 1902 Charlotte Avenue. If you happen to be listening right now, write that down. We'll let you know. Check out social media as the date gets even closer here. So far, we know that Rashawn Evans is going to be joining us there. Maybe he and I can work the drive-through window a little bit there, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass.
I think people would love it if you guys just started handing out chicken.
Nobody would care about me, but imagine if you're in Nashville and you're a Titans fan and you pick up your wings or whatever, and then you go to the window and then Rashawn Evans hands them to you.
Hey, people, if you show up in the afternoon on Tuesday, you'll get a nice surprise. So.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe you will. Anyhow, we got a good show coming up for you. Number 21 of the L.A. Rams, Aqib Talib, just off of a Super Bowl. Last we saw him, it was down on the field just before kickoff there. He is one of the more captivating personalities in pro football right now. And I can tell you in advance, because we've already had the conversation, he has a lot of interesting details from that Super Bowl and Wade Phillips and the new pass interference rule. So you'll enjoy listening to Talib. But first, one of our favorite guys to bump into in the hallways here. I think I say that to him when we talk to him, because that's an interview I've already also done, seated here in Studio 66. He's one of our many draft gurus at NFL Media. He's Lance Zierlein from Houston, Texas, a charismatic fella, knowledgeable about food and about blue chip college football players who are soon to be pulling on a jersey for an NFL team. We talked to him about Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield and then play a game that I think is pretty fun. It's a good thought experiment. We ask him to imagine that each of the 32 teams have the first overall pick. Who would each team take if they had that spot based on their team needs for 2019? Lance is going to fill in all those blanks 32 times over for us. And you know what? Why don't we just get to it right now? Here he is, everybody. Lance Zierlein. All right, look who it is, everybody. I've been waiting to kibitz with you on the DDFP. I always enjoy our occasional opportunities to kibitz in the hallway or on Twitter or otherwise. It's Lance Zierlein, everybody, one of our many draft gurus here at NFL Media. Watch him on Path to the Draft all draft week long with Bucky and DJ and all the other insiders. You know, I consider myself though to be a keen eye for QBs, at least.
You're a QB guy?
Yeah, I got it. I just use my eyeballs. That's all I need. I just watch them play.
Watch the tape. Allegiance. You let the tape. You trust the tape.
I just watch games. That's
you don't
all.
Get into the analytics.
I don't need to do all that jive. What do I need that for? These eyes have served me well. You know. Yeah. Anyway, it's not about me. Zierlein, by
it
the
is,
way, is a great. Okay,
it's about you a little bit.
At Lance Zierlein, make sure you're following him, not just for his football insights, but also his food insights. Yeah. You might know more about food than even I do.
I just know different places to go, and I've gone to different places. It's important to me because when you go to different cities, a lot of times I think the cities, you know, we were lucky enough to, when we traveled for the draft, went to Chicago, mm-hmm. A phenomenal food town, just phenomenal. New York obviously was always great. LA is really great.
LA is underrated. Go ahead.
Highly
underrated. Football America's best food town.
LA is a highly underrated food town.
Really?
You just have to travel wide and far, like in Houston. You know, it depends on what you want, and it's a sprawl. The difference is your traffic is just really like I would imagine if I lived here, I would have to plan dinner around completely. I'm either eating at 3 or at 9:30. There's no in between. Either super grandpa or like, you know, like I'm in Spain. There just can't be an in-between.
When I was younger, I would have gone for the later hour. That was the
right.
The goal was to see how late you could stay out.
Not now.
When you're 20 or you're 25. Now, when you're beating life, it's when you got a couple drinks in you.
Sure.
Maybe you have a dinner in your belly and the sun hasn't even gone down yet.
Will you
That's
eat,
living.
Will you eat before 6 now?
I can. I'm willing to do that. Sure.
I am too.
I'm not ashamed either.
Daniel Jeremiah and I, just yesterday, we were eating like a couple of grandpas. We went down and got one of the little pizzas down the street. I mean, like at 4:40, not a problem.
You don't have to apologize to me.
We had things to do.
Who are you trying to impress with staying out till 3:45 in the morning?
So for like 20 years, yeah, I don't need that anymore. But for like 20 years, I've been doing morning radio at 6 a.m. And now I do it at 7. It's still early. I still wake up.
I did that.
Yeah.
That's a rugged existence.
It's a different existence. You just get used to being kind of a zombie, and you get addicted to caffeine. Mm-hmm. But the other thing it does is it changes lunch to 10 a.m. Or, you know, by 9:30 or 10, you're like, this is lunchtime.
True.
Why do they not? I got mad one day. I thought 11 is arbitrary for a lunchtime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be 10? Why can't these places open up at 10 or 10:30 for a lunch? It doesn't make any sense that 11 is this arbitrary time. There's people like me, we want to get started early with their lunches. As
there
matter of fact,
lines blazing trails here.
Yeah.
All right. I want to do something that with the aforementioned Daniel Jeremiah and I did a year ago. Before that, a question that came up on our earlier podcast this week that I'm interested in your opinion. Okay. It seems to me that when there's a collective opinion, when there's this QB or that QB or multiple QBs in the debate to be the best of the class, it seems like the collective wisdom tends to get it right. If you go back to Peyton versus Ryan Leaf, by the time that draft happened, most people had settled Peyton's going to be better than Ryan Leaf, I think. I think that that was true. I think with Jameis versus Mariota, I guess the book's still out on that one. Neither one has
it's
really
very much out.
Well, neither one. What's rare is that one doesn't make it and the other one does make it. I mean, usually one makes it, the other one doesn't.
Right.
In this situation, neither guy may end up making it.
Right.
There's another good example or two out there that I can't. Andrew Luck versus RG3. There's some buzz for RG3, the close he got for the draft, but then ultimately it was.
There wasn't anybody that Cam Newton. No one competed with Cam.
No, not against Cam. And then last year, everybody said, yes, Baker is nice and Josh Rosen is nice, but come on. It's got to be, at the end of the day, it's got to be Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
So unless that collective wisdom failed, doesn't Sam Darnold stand to soar in 2019? Is he well positioned to do so on the Jets?
No, I don't think he's particularly well positioned other than who he is as a person. I think his demeanor is uniquely set up for New York, right? He cares a lot about football. He doesn't care about the outside stuff. Social media is not a big deal for him. I'll tell you, two polar opposites in last year's class, Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. I think Josh Rosen, the last thing he needs to go is to a New York team. But Sam Darnold, kind of like Eli, you could throw him in there, and it's not going to be too big for him. And it's not just, well, I'm, you know, it's not because he's Joe Namath. It's because
I get it's the opposite of that.
He's just like, right. I don't know. I'm just here to play ball. I don't care about all this other stuff. What about the models? I don't care about that. What about what the media said? I didn't read it. I just don't care enough to read that stuff. I only care about ball. So I think he's set up for that. So because of that, he could potentially soar is a strong word, but I think he will take that natural progression forward. I just don't think he has the tools around him. I don't think he has the weapons around him to help him out. And you look at Baker Mayfield, wealth of riches. And you go to Cleveland, and the thought is, what a nightmare, you're going to Cleveland. It's been that way since you and I were – well, that's not true. There was a moment. It wasn't until Beiner fumbled.
Bernie Kosar, years there in the mid-'80s.
And once that Cleveland Brown team left and became the Ravens, it's been jinxed. My dad coached there with Butch Davis. It's a jinxed – you know, he was there with the Kelly Holcomb loss. Your Steelers, Kelly Holcomb hung 400 yards on the Steelers and
Chris
still lost.
Chris Fulamatu-Maafala and Tommy Maddox.
That's right.
Off the improbable rally there.
I know, and they did. And it's just they can't win. But now you look at Cleveland, and I kind of am buying into the turnaround. It's about time Cleveland actually had a real turnaround and not just a lot of talk. I think it's going to happen. So I think the collective wisdom is not going to be wrong about Sam Darnold. That was my number one quarterback by a lot. I just think that Baker Mayfield is positioned to do it quicker.
Do you think then, one more question on this, do you think if the Jets, they wouldn't say this publicly, obviously, but do you think if they could redo it, go back into a time machine, do you think they would say that they would rather have Baker Mayfield? Do you think anybody would change who the quarterback that they have on their roster is?
I think Arizona would.
From what you do think that they're
I think they're going to go Kyler. Yeah,
you do think that's going to happen.
Yeah, but I think the interesting one is, do you think? I don't think one would change a thing, and I don't think three would change a thing. The interesting question are the Giants. Like, do the Giants have any buyer's remorse over having the rookie of the year? You know, was obviously Saquon Barkley. But if you had it to do all over again, and now they've looked at these quarterbacks here, and they know they're at 6, and they know they're at 17, would you have taken Sam Darnold at 2? Put some truth serum in Dave Gettleman, and what does he say now? My guess is he stays the course.
It's really interesting, and, you know, in the last month or so, people have really, since the Odell trade, gone after Gettleman, but we talked to Sean O'Hare, and he didn't sway my opinion necessarily all by himself. Eddie Spaghetti behind the glasses defended Saquon for a better part of a year now, and given that a prime, the running back prime is the minute he walks in the building, as far as I'm concerned. By the end of his first contract, he's kind of got some attrition on him. It's not the same formula that you would apply to a QB. Get him to the second contract and see if he's worthy of that 25 or 35 million or whatever it's going to end up being. If they go and Daniel Jeremiah has floated the idea of Daniel Jones at 6 for the Giants, that seems like a loco choice. They went in on Saquon. Now you got to go all in on trying to win right now because Eli's old. You got Saquon in his prime, a difference maker there. I think that
I wouldn't take, even if you love Jones, you have to, to me, you have to wait till 17. I mean, you've got to go get somebody. There's just too much. It's not a loaded draft, but there's just talent that can help you win right now. At least have a better shot at 6. And I'm with you. I wouldn't make that quarterback draft. Look, I have Daniel Jones as a second rounder anyway. So you're talking to the wrong guy if it comes to backing Daniel Jones. But I wouldn't draft a quarterback at 6. You have 2 picks, I get it, but you really need some defensive help and do that at 6.
All right, let's see if we can get to some other questions on the other side. We'll see how long this takes. Here's a game. It's a fun exercise to see who really rises, who's the cream of the crop. I am going to, let's assume, and we won't do it in the actual draft order, we'll do it alphabetically. Who would each of the 32 NFL teams take if they had the first overall pick? Let's start in reality here. Arizona, they happen to be the first.
I'm going to say Kyler.
Kyler is the pick if they could have anyone they want. Okay, that stands to reason. The Atlanta Falcons.
Bosa.
They most would like to have Nick Bosa.
They need an edge rusher. Yeah.
Why? What?
I don't buy into it. Nick Bosa is my fourth best player in this draft, but I just think they had Vic Beasley, who had a little spike and then came back down. Nick Bosa is one of the surer things in this draft, and I think his ceiling is a little bit capped out, but I think his floor is pretty high. So I would say Bosa because he can rush the quarterback, he's big, he's strong, and he can have an impact against the run. That's why I just think that he's a safer pick. That's why. I mean, we're only going to have a spread of about 3 or 4 players at most with this exercise, I think, because this year's not really – there's no stud players. Like, that's a dude, and that's a dude. And last year in this game, I bet if you played this game last year, it was probably a lot more varied because you could say, man, Quentin Nelson, ooh, Saquon Barkley, wow, I'll take, Tremaine Edmonds. Give me the – Roquan Smith is the guy I would take. Sam Darnold for me. This year, I don't think it's like that, and it's because there's no other second quarterback.
Don't talk yourself into anything. We're just getting going. Atlanta, I am surprised that Dan Quinn's team has kind of scuffled since that Super Bowl.
I am too.
I thought that it looked like
Super Bowl loser, though.
I get it, but I the psychology of that aside, I really like the pieces that they had. It seemed like, oh, Dan Quinn has assembled a group of destroyers defensively that are going to...
So it looked like.
I guess I was wrong about that, and so was Dan Quinn. Baltimore Ravens. See, this has got to be a little bit of a wild card.
Josh Allen.
Really? Okay.
Edge, yeah. They're going to look at an edge rusher. They want a guy who has that ability to come off the edge, and he's got a lot of potential and talent as an edge rusher. So Josh Allen.
This is first overall, so this would be a little bit of a reach, but I do like Hollywood Brown for that team.
Yeah, I do too. I think you want
somebody spooking the defense. That's
true, but he's not the most accurate quarterback, Lamar Jackson, so maybe you want a bigger target too. But I'm not sure DK Metcalf is that guy. I think you want a big, safe target.
And they already have 27 tight ends on the roster, so Hockenson's out there. Buffalo Bills, they already have a Josh Allen.
This is an interesting exercise.
See?
So
maybe Hollywood Brown.
So I'm going to go Quinnen Williams. And I'll tell you why. I've heard they like Ed Oliver. So if you like Ed Oliver, either Ed's number one or Ed's number two for you. So I'll say Quinnen Williams, another interior rusher who can, you know, get after the quarterback. I'll do that. So actually, we do have four different players already.
That's exactly right. A lot of comparisons unfairly to poor Ed Darnold. He can't live up to Aaron Donald in all likelihood. But do you buy that he is a high-end difference maker?
I think he has a high ceiling, low floor. And the problem is his size. But then when you look at how explosive he is, I think you have to put him in the right position to succeed. Don't ask him to do something he can't do. He's physically not going to be able to just take guys on and be strong against bigger, you know, more physical, wider guys. That's not who he's going to be. So why would you ask him? Why would you ask a guy who can't shoot off the dribble? Why would you ask him to be a scorer? Why would you ask a setup 3-point shooter? Hey, I'm a catch and shoot 3-point specialist. Don't ask me to take the ball off the dribble because that's not what I do.
That's what I used to always tell my high school basketball coach.
Yeah.
He said, it's a moot point. You're the 12th man anyway. Go sit down, please, and be quiet.
And you were just trying to say, put me in a better position to succeed.
Yeah, it was like, I'm not putting you at any position except at the end of the bench, you dope. Lucky you're on the team. Now quiet down or I'm going to change that too. The Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers. They need a tackle.
Ed Oliver.
I'm going to go Juwan Taylor.
Ooh.
I'm going to get a big, nasty, tough,
sexy O-line picks.
Yeah.
First overall.
I think. He's no Orlando Pace.
I'm trying to keep some pace here, but to pace it up a little bit. But this is, do you agree with me? Because you are actually in the small group of people who actually does study O-line tape. Mm-hmm. Are you annoyed by people on my side who weigh in on what is a good offensive lineman? I think it's one of the most fraudulent telling things that you can do as a football fan to say, like, oh, Anthony Munoz, best left tackle ever. Based on what? You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, so, but at least you're looking at one of the best left tackles of all time. What's even more crazy is when we're having discussions about, like, I'll be talking to Jeff Schwartz on Twitter, mm-hmm. who played guard in the league.
One of our favorites. His jersey hangs on the wall of fame there.
Aaron Taylor, who was, you know, who's an NFL offensive tackle. And we're going back and forth about players. And, like, you guys are all wrong on this one. He doesn't keep his hands inside. Like, it turns into technique stuff. Like, you really shouldn't be talking technique with NFL offensive linemen. That's not. Which that's really what you're looking at here is he doesn't do a good job of reach blocking. Like, people comment on Jeff Schwartz's videos he puts out. Well, I disagree with that. If you look right here, he doesn't have very good leverage. I'm like, please don't.
Thanks, Glenn. Hope the weather's good in Altoona.
Appreciate it, Kevin.
Chicago Bears. They are very close. They are real players, as far as I'm concerned. I don't love Trubisky, though.
Ah, man, I still need a receiver.
They're not going to take a quarterback.
No, they need another rusher. They need another. They want somebody opposite of. They want Floyd. Somebody opposite of Mac. You know what? That's not it either. This is a really tough game. This is not a good cornerback. You could plug a cornerback in there, but they don't have one that you would really say, that's my guy. Let's give them – I mean, you got to stay – I got to stay true to the defense.
Is Tyreek – I mean, is Tyreek Cohen really able to carry the load?
You know what? Let's give him Josh Jacobs.
Right? I mean, that,
yeah,
don't
let's
they
give
need
him Josh Jacobs. Why not?
Then?
Why not?
It's weird that you're going to
roll with
that
guy. Nowhere near the first pick, but you're not that far away, Chicago Bears.
Right.
And I think he has a bigger impact than getting one of these cornerbacks would. I think Josh Jacobs can step in and be a pretty good runner.
All right, fun. Cincinnati Bengals.
Kyler.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I said last year they should take Lamar Jackson. Bet they'd be better off if they had Cleveland for 1 year. I think the Ravens are realizing they're in a little bit of trouble here.
Right.
Who's ever going to go and play? What pass catcher ever wants to go there? That's why I float Hollywood Brown. They got to draft high-end talent at the position. No one's ever going to sign there willfully as long as Lamar Jackson.
Well, you're not going to
running
gonna,
an option offense.
You're not going to make probably a lot of money on your next contract because your targets are going to be a little lower. Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns.
What do the Browns want? You got to think about their needs.
O-line, right? Isn't that their one weakness?
They're okay on the offensive line. They want defensive linemen. You know what? Let's give them a Michael Dean Perry clone.
Ooh.
And Ed Oliver.
Very nice. I like
that. You know, people can't get with my Michael Dean Perry comp. It's on the NFL.com draft profile.
Why not?
And I'm sure there's like 43 Browns fans who go, oh, this is nice. Michael Dean Perry was a good player.
I get the reference.
He's a Pro Bowler.
I get the reference.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Sure.
People think it's a slam. I'm like, that guy went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. He just was obscured literally and otherwise by his brother.
His brother
Fridge.
Was nowhere near as good.
Right. But he scored a touchdown.
He scored a touchdown Super Bowl, yeah.
Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Ooh. They just signed DeMarcus Lawrence. I got a great one for you.
Ooh, I mentioned him already. TJ Hockenson. If you could have anybody
yes.
to drop onto that team.
Yeah, because supposedly they like Dawson Knox, and that's a tight end in the second round. So let's put TJ Hockenson there.
Yep, the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Let's give the Denver Broncos more rush help. They really need corner help, but this is where not having corners hurts us. Let's give them some more rush help, because if you can't cover, then at least you need to get the quarterback. Let's give them Nick Bosa.
Okay. I think that this Joe Flacco thing, another weird choice. I do think it legitimately, as much as people floated it and it sounds overly simplistic, I do think that some people can be seduced by, well, that guy has smoked us one too many times.
Right.
Let's get Flacco. They've right. watched Flacco perform well against them, and Elway has seen that, and he likes the big cannon arm.
Flacco's such fool's gold.
I couldn't agree more, except for the fact that is difficult to argue against, is that he did rise up against the New England Patriots. How he was able to solve them more consistently than anyone, I mean, on par really with Peyton Manning, is crazy. And also, the thing that Joe Flacco always did, any Steelers fan can tell you, is Flacco always nails in Heinz Field. Always nails. I don't know why. Always played his best ball.
All right, was Ned Stark alive when Flacco was last really good? I mean, I feel like he was. That's how long it's been. I feel like Ned right. Stark still had a head. That doesn't sound great, but
what?
It's accurate.
It's a good yardstick there. The yeah. Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions. They need an edge rusher. They also need a tight end. But if you had your first pick, we'll go Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa.
The big guy. Yeah.
Green Bay Packers.
Edge. Let's go Josh Allen.
The Houston Texans.
Andre Dillard. Left
yeah,
tackle.
That makes
We're
sense.
Desperate
no,
for
it makes,
tackle
makes
and
perfect sense. No, it really yeah. does make sense.
I mean, Houston's in a bad position to where they have to have a left tackle and they have to have a cornerback. You never want to be in this position where you're desperate at positions, because then I'm passing up on much better players than Andre Dillard to draft something they have to have, and I'm giving them the best tackle they can possibly get for what they want, which is an athletic left tackle.
Are you still all in on Deshaun Watson if you ever were? I feel like we talked about that earlier in the week, that people, because of the most recent game he played, people kind of the bloom was off the lily or whatever the
phrase. No, but I mean, I'm more of an analyst, so I don't get swayed by individual games. I'm not a one-timer, as I call it, just somebody who just needs to see one thing. And
he's top 6'8", top 8.
Yeah,
top,
I still think
QB.
His potential is very high-end. With him, you just have to make sure that I think that he keeps his head on straight as a professional, that he doesn't change the work ethic. And I haven't heard that he has. It's famous. But I think with Deshaun Watson, at some point, you've got to get rid of the ball quicker. You got to get through your reads and get rid of the ball and learn timing. I think that's the concern with him. And it really has nothing to do with anything else. So, yeah, I'm still all in on Deshaun Watson for sure.
All right. I'm going to go fast action here because, you're a busy man. Indianapolis Colts.
Let's go 26. Let's give the Colts. They want a rusher. Let's give them Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay.
Defensive tackle.
The so-called red shirt that everybody's talking about there.
But might be the best player in this draft.
That was the buzz, at least top 10.
His tape is really good, and he is basically Ndamukong Suh all over again.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you can red shirt to me. Chris Ballard wants to build so you don't get in a panic about 1 year. And that's the guy who's got a chance to be really good.
I mean, the names that keep coming up for me are Hockenson and Hollywood Brown, because I feel like Hollywood Brown's circumstantial. If Hockenson is, in fact, a poor man's Rob Gronkowski, don't you have to go and do that? The X factor that he was for the last decade on that Patriots?
I think for a lot of teams. All right, well, when you get to 32, I know who I'm giving them.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Wait, Jacksonville? We're going all the way back to... Is that who you want me to pick, Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go all the way circle back to number 7. Threw me off my game here. I would say...
it's number 1.
You know what?
They're all the number 1, so we could really do them anyway. This is the first overall pick in the draft. Jacksonville has it.
They're getting a little older. Let's go with Quinnen Williams replacing Marcell Dareus. I'll go Quinnen Williams, rush from the interior.
KC Chiefs.
Boy, they need corner in the worst way. You got that.
Who is the best in that group? I guess that's also circumstantial with what a defense
wants to do. Let's go Josh Jacobs.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's give him a running back.
Okay.
Replace Keenan. Yeah, with the Kareem Hunt, with Josh Jacobs, and let's roll on. I'm not gonna find you a good corner.
If they don't have Tyreek Hill, though, they're gonna certainly miss that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Chargers.
The Chargers. I'm gonna go with my top tackle. Jonah Williams.
I was going to say, it to me, it seems like they're...
My top guy's Jonah Williams. He's smart. He plays multiple positions. You know what? You got a chance to win right now with Phillip Rivers still.
Aren't they kind of flawless except for the offensive line?
The offensive line. And this is a guy who can come in, he's plug and play right away. And he can play multiple positions.
The NFC defending champs, the Rams.
For the Rams, you get Cooper Kupp back. You still are a little soft up the middle. Oh, defensive tackle. Jeffrey Simmons. And I would say keep your eye on Jeffrey Simmons there to the Rams if he falls all the way to the back end of the first.
Okay. Miami Dolphins.
Kyler.
Vikings.
Minnesota.
Wouldn't you rather have Tua or Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but that's not guaranteed. You just don't know. You may accidentally win.
Right.
Let's see. For the which team?
The Vikes.
For the Vikes, what they really need is offensive line play. So I'm going to go with... Oh, man, that's really hard. They need guard. No, but they could use defensive tackle, too. Let's go Ed Oliver.
Patriots.
Hawkinson.
Saints.
Josh Allen. Rusher. I want to say Hollywood just to give you a Hollywood.
I'm surprised. It seems like they're all set well, you know, pass
so,
rush.
So my problem, well, no one ever thinks they're set up pass rush. That is one where I think Hollywood would be interesting because now you have a field. You have somebody to stretch the field to go along with Mike Thomas. I think that one's interesting.
We sure that nine can still throw it that far?
That's a problem, and that's why I don't love giving those outside speed receivers to Tom Brady because he doesn't throw that pass very often. He doesn't take those deep shots that much anymore, and he hasn't for a while.
You would think that would be a major absence from the guy who was called the best quarterback in the game. Did we say Giants? The Giants.
Giants, I will go with Gettleman take.
Just give him a D. Just give him somebody on D. Then I think they're really
Let's give him a pass rusher. Oh, let's give him Nick Bosa.
The Jets also Bosa?
No. Yeah, I think they'd like to have Bosa too. More surefire.
I mean, you watch. If Evan Ingram can just stay healthy, that offense is fine. They just need
the Giants.
They just need to take care of business on defense. Eagles.
Andre Dillard.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh. Devin.
This is the place to say his name.
Devin White.
Devin White. I know they want him. I bet you they're going to try to move heaven and Devin earth to White. Get. I bet you they're going to try to get him.
He's got a lot of Steeler in him.
Uh-huh.
I'll go Devin White.
If I could, I really like the two guys I keep saying, Hawkinson or Hollywood Brown there. Yeah. I think those would be great fits. The Niners?
Niners, I would go with Nick Bosa.
Seahawks.
Montez Sweat.
Buccaneers.
Nick Bosa.
Tennessee Titans.
TJ Hawkinson.
And, it's about time they move on from Delaney. Washington Redskins. Hollywood. There it is. At long last, it arrives. Lance Zierlein, it's time for you to go. Unfortunately, I could kibitz with you for another 3 or 6 hours. I wish we had time to go get one of those pizzas down the street or something like that. We'll have to let that sit for, I don't know, the next time you're in Los Angeles, but anytime you are, let's go get some food and then talk about food and Game of Thrones, and maybe we'll talk some football too.
Let's do that.
There he is, the great Lance Zierlein, everybody. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely.
Dave. Make sure you check Lance out, like I said, there, too. He'll be on Path to the Draft all next week while we're in Nashville, Tennessee. And right now, let's get it to number 21. Last you saw him, his defense can't hang it on the Rams' D. They held Tom Brady, the GOAT, and Gronk, and all the rest of those fellas to a meager 13 points. That was enough to give the Patriots the world title. Here's our catch-up with Aqib Talib post-Super Bowl 50, what was it, 3? 2.
52, no. I think it's 53.
Can't remember what Super Bowl
wasn't it 3? It was L-I-I-I?
It was 3.
Yeah, 53.
Are you sure?
50 was Giant Stadium, MetLife?
50, no. 50 was Broncos over Cam. 51 was 28-3, Patriots.
Okay.
Over, and then 52 was the Eagles.
Yeah,
and so
50,
yes, so like I said, last we saw him was Super Bowl 53. Here's our catch-up with the great Aqib Talib. All right, I just said to him, the last I saw him was down on a gridiron round about Atlanta, Georgia way. It's Aqib Talib. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm fine. I want to hear all about that experience as much as you can stomach talking about the Super Bowl pass there against them Patriots. Real quick, though, how does it hit your ear as somebody in the NFC West to hear Russell Wilson has re-signed? Do players care when you hear, like, ooh, a team in our division just got a little bit better, something good happened for them. Do you get upset about that?
I mean, definitely not upset. Anytime you see a guy, you know, one of our brothers, this is a brotherhood, man. It's 1,500 guys who get to play in this game or something like that, you know. So anytime you hear one of those guys, you know what I'm saying, better their life, better their career, man, you're always happy for them, definitely.
What do you think about Joe Flacco with your former team there in Denver? Do you buy that that guy is a solution for a year, for a couple of years?
I think he's still got something left in the tank. You know, I think the Broncos are definitely a quarterback away, man. I feel like they never was a really, really bad team. They just was kind of a quarterback away, and now they got a veteran presence, somebody who know how to control the huddle, know how to control the building. So he gives them a better chance to win.
Do you think that number seven there, Elway, was swooned at the thought of like, hey, we've seen this guy come out here and beat us before. Do you think he gets swayed or was swayed on some level by that?
I think it was more availability. It was who's available, who can really hold this torch, you know. So Flacco was available, and they did a good job going to get him.
All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl. Well, listen, does that, you don't like that?
No, it's good, man. I enjoy all experience I go through, man.
What's your career Super Bowl record then?
I'm 1-1.
1-1. I couldn't recall, frankly, if you were with one of the Patriots in one of those spots that they rolled through. Seems like they're in most of them.
Yeah.
First of all, the defense was dynamite. Mm-hmm. You know, is there any sort of frustration about, look, we held the New England Patriots to 13 in the big game.
We felt like we played good. We played good, but we also feel like we could have been better. It was the one drive where we let Gronk go down and catch that pass. A lot of mental mistakes on that drive from everybody on defense, you know. So we stop them on that drive. Who knows? You know, we may come down and score, you know. So we definitely don't – our building, we definitely don't point fingers, man. We all accountable, and we all lost together.
Do you think, you know, a couple of months now, everybody keeps talking about Todd Gurley. In fact, people are talking about Todd Gurley for a couple of months in advance of that Super Bowl. At my read on it, my uninformed, you know, I just, you know, recklessly speculate. So I'm not tied to any facts. It seems to me that Bill Belichick kind of called the bluff on, we're not going to bite on any play action. We don't think 30's going to get us anyway, so we're not going to bite on that. We'll run our safety up to the line, and then as soon as 16 turns his back to us, we're going to run it back to cover up what he thinks is going to be there. Is that a fair interpretation of what I saw in those 60 minutes?
That was a piece of it. You know, that was a piece of it. We didn't get that run game going. So our offense is predicated on getting that run game going. It's a bunch of play action, you know. Bunch of boots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So if we don't get that run, if you stop our run, man, you got a pretty good chance. A lot of people can't stop our run. They played good up front. They stopped our run, and it gave them a good chance to win.
It seems like Belichick said, and Brian Flores, to give him credit too, is to say, you can pretend you're going to give it to 30. We know you're not going to try and beat us with him today.
I mean, you could say that, but we give it to 30. If he start bussing, then you have to do something about it, right? Mm-hmm. So we just didn't get the bussing. The big runs wasn't there. So I guess that was his plan, to stop the run. I guarantee you his first plan was to stop that run, and that's what they did. So if they was able to stop that run, it would have gave him the best chance to win, and that's what they was able to do.
What do you make of Sean McVay being so successful and apparently – you know, blazing this trail in the NFL, so much so that anybody who ever met Sean McVay is now a head coach somewhere in the NFL, it seems like. What do you think about this attempt to copycat the Rams' success with McVay?
I mean, he's a smart guy, man. He's a smart guy. So it's a copycat league. They see how productive our offense is, and the other teams, they want their offense to be the same productive, you know. So what you do, you go get his right-hand man. You go see if can you – The burning question in the interview, can you do what Sean do and score 30 points a game? If you say yeah, you're the head coach. So everybody going to go say yeah, but can they do it? I guess we'll see.
What do you think of – see, to me, the guy who got slept on a little bit along the way was one Wade Phillips. He had to factor pretty prominently in what went on there in 2018 with the Rams, right?
Yeah, he definitely did. I don't really feel like he got slept on. He's Wade Phillips, man. He's going to the Hall of Fame. So his celebration day is just waiting to happen.
Oh, I saw the two of you. That was all right. I thought that was one of the best sights of the year. You know what's my favorite thing he did, though? I got to pat myself on the back. I got in touch with him early in the year, and I said, next time you guys wear the throwback uniforms, Coach Wade, why don't you throw it back to how your dad, Bum, used to do
it? Oh, yeah, he did that.
And he picked up on that.
Yeah.
And then he did it. It was one of the great thrills for me to see him at media night
definitely.
And shake his hand and say, you did it. And he
definitely one of my memories from the Super Bowl.
That was the best, right?
Seeing Coach in that throwback Bum, you know, so it was dope.
You remember all those? You're too young to remember the Bum Phillip days, but man.
I know about him. I'm a fan of the game.
You is
know,
that right?
So I do a little research and, you know. I know about it. I've been under Wade too long not to know.
I know.
About
well, Wade, and I told Wade, just do it for a game. He's like, I would love to do it, but the NFL rules would never let me wear. Can you imagine looking over at the sideline and your head coach wearing a 10-gallon hat and his cowboy boots and all that and a Western shirt and all that stuff?
He did it. He did as much as he could, though. He did it on the plane and stuff like that.
So. Oh, he looked good. Yeah. That was
definitely
was a
memory of mine.
Let's talk about the game that preceded that one, the NFC title game. 1 to 10, how sick of you of Saints fans blaming that one call on you getting to the Super Bowl? Where'd you come down on that? Clearly, you know, it was PI.
Yeah, I mean, it was pass interference, but I mean, it was a bang. It was so fast. Even if you watch the tape, you look where I was. I seen the ball, boom. I seen the hit. I could tell that he hit him when the ball got there, but the ball went behind him. So did they deem it uncatchable? At first, I thought they were saying the ball was uncatchable. He threw a bad pass over his head or something. So until I seen the replays the whole game, I'm thinking that the ball was uncatchable. That's why they didn't throw the flag. So I'm on the field.
Why do you say that? That was my first thought. That ball sailed way out of bounds. That wasn't a catch. You look at the replay and say, oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If the ball goes behind the defensive back, was it really catchable? I mean, I don't know. So my first reaction was the ball wasn't catchable. I mean, I seen it on a replay a little bit. I said, well, maybe if he didn't hit him, maybe he could have caught it. So, I don't know. It's a bang, bang, man. It's a fast game. It's easy to watch on TV, and it goes a lot faster when you're on that field.
I know. I watched another game on TV with 21 figuring prominently into it. I remember a guy named Martavis Bryant, where you tangled with him in the end zone, a mile high, divisional round, when you guys were supposed to smoke the Antonio Brownless Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little handsy before the ball got there. You and I have looked at that replay, and you say, I'm no apology coming. Is
definitely
what you've told
was
me.
No PI. It was not even close.
I mean, no. I mean, like, I you grabbed his arm like that. I saw it.
And he pushed my neck. So he pushed, I pulled. That's 50-50.
Okay. All right. So that same.
I can't just get pushed and don't do nothing back.
Oh,
you
you're
know?
A delicate flower.
You do like this. When it's a jump ball, I do this. He do this. And then we go get the ball.
So. What do you think then? That Saints play now has inspired this new rule.
The Roby rule.
You're in. Oh, is that? See, that's pretty cool. I always say, I'd like to be, you know, how cool is it if Mel Blunt.
Yeah, your own rule, right?
Because you played too mean, Mel Blunt. We have to change the rules.
Right.
Too tough.
You got to invent pass interference.
I love that like kind of that, stuff. Yeah. I would love to go.
Now we got a Roby rule.
And then the Tom Brady rule is like, don't touch me. You know, like that's an embarrassment for him. Either way, are you nervous as an especially physical corner? Are you thinking I might have to modify my game? I mean, I don't know, at this point in your career, you're really going to overhaul what
you're
doing?
This is just another rule to just, you know, kind of pacify some people and tell them that if something happened like that at the end of the game where it could determine the game, that you could be able to challenge it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think the first 3.5 quarters would be played the same. Mm-hmm. Football, like, the game would be the same. And if it's some type of bang-bang play at the end, you'll be able to challenge it. Or if you need some type of chunk play at the end, you could throw 4 straight fades and hopefully somebody touch somebody on one of them and throw a flag. You know?
Oh, now we're back to Joe Flacco having some success. That's his favorite play. I'm just going to throw it as far as I can, hopefully get some PI on that.
Yeah, it worked for him before.
Believe me, I know about that. All right, get out of here, Tlaib. A pleasure to see you once again. I love the voice, man. I don't mean just the literal sound of your voice, but you have a distinct phrasing and point of view about football. I enjoy catching up with you.
I appreciate that.
And I want to talk to you as it gets a little closer. Big 12 football. Is KU going to be Rick Ross and Les Miles?
Let's go. Les, turn us around.
What are they doing in Kansas?
All you got to do is get us a quarterback and we'll be there.
All right. No, I still have eligibility. I don't know why you laugh at that.
Take care, Dave. Appreciate
it. All right, 21. And that's that. Next we talk to you, we will be in Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Come on out to Zaxby's once again. Tuesday, the 23rd, 1902 Charlotte Avenue. We're going to be there. Rashawn Evans is going to be there. Hopefully you'll be there as well. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. Ooh, reminder, New Daves of Thunder, episode 100. It's a dandy one, too. Track that down wherever you find your favorite podcast. If you enjoy this one, football focus, this one's about the game of life even more than the DDFP is. So go check that one out. All right. Now, we will see you in Nashville, Tennessee. And until we do, it's been a thin slice of heaven.